This Saturday marks the 9th anniversary of September 11th. Immediately after the attacks, there was a sense of national unity and resilience. But Nikki Stern says we've lost that. Stern's husband was killed during the attacks, and she's the former head of Families of September 11th. In an opinion piece in USA Today, Stern wrote, quote, "Judging by our news cycle, September 11th's legacy seems to be either anger or apathy. You're with us or you're against us, or you're so over it." We'll hear more from Nikki Stern in a moment, but we also want to hear from you. 9 years after the September 11th attacks, what does the event mean to you now? Call us at 800-989-8255 or email us at talk@npr.org and join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Nikki Stern joins us now from our bureau in New York. Welcome to the Talk of the Nation.
Thanks for having me.
Your husband died during the attacks.
He did.
Can you tell us briefly how and what does 9/11 mean to you now?
I'm in a quandary. What it means to me now is something that symbolizes a lot of rancor and a lot of hate. I mean, there are certainly exceptions. Nicholas Kristof noted in the New York Times the organization Beyond 9/11 and the two Boston widows, and there are other charities, but the news cycle and the public consciousness seems to be dominated by hate-filled rhetoric, and that's a real disappointment to me.
And is it just now, 9 years later? I mean, has this been the case? You know, we've had many contentious national debates in the 9 years since then.
Well, we have, but I think that this feels very much more personal for a couple of reasons. One, it seems to have come full circle back to ground zero, and what is ground zero, and what is ground zero supposed to be, and who gets to do what there.
You're referring to the debate now over whether to build an Islamic center very near that site.
Absolutely. And my initial impression was that it was a neighborhood project. I know a lot of people who live and work downtown and are planners, and it seemed to be something modeled after the 92nd Street Y on the Upper West Side, and then suddenly it's turned into the lead for this national discussion. And it's really brought up a lot of hateful rhetoric. It's brought up a lot of hateful rhetoric as well as discussion about what Ground Zero means.
In a way that wasn't the case immediately after the attacks, when you might have expected it even more.
Well, I'll tell you, I was in New York. And I spent a lot of time in New York, and in New York, and maybe we were isolated, but in New York, the sense was one of resilience, not revenge. And our goal, I felt, as New Yorkers, was to pull together. And a lot of people pulled together, and people came from all over the country to help and to pull together. And I didn't hear anything about let's get these people or let's be against that. And it may, as I say, it may have been going on elsewhere in the country, but it was not going on in New York.
Actually, there has been research showing that the number of people who have an unfavorable view of the Islamic religion has gone up since 2002, a year after the events. Let's hear a listener now. Carrie is in San Antonio, Texas.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess when I think about the question, what does 9/11 mean to me? I think about it in the context of my two children. I have a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old, and, you know, they've pretty much grown up in, especially my 11-year-old, in a post-9/11 society. And so I just have thought about the ways in which I've had to talk to them about the feeling of safety, and it's just really different than my experience was growing up. When I was a kid, we talked about the Cold War and worried about the threat of nuclear weapons. And my children talk about terrorism and airplanes and are we safe? And so I just think that that's kind of been the way I think about it in 9 years later.
And at what point did you, Carrie, decide to tell them? How did you bring up that conversation?
Well, my son was in preschool. I remember vividly the morning it happened, and I was at home with my daughter, who was an infant. And I guess, you know, we started talking about it in very vague terms when they were little, where in ways which we felt were appropriate for their age and their development. And then I think just over the course of their childhood, it became just a part of the fabric of their consciousness because it was so much a part of everyone's experience. So I don't know that I could tell you exactly at what point we talked to them about it. I think it was just a part of our lives and their lives, and so it's almost like they always knew about it. I think to try to protect children from it was sort of maybe misguided because there's really no way to do that. I think children just, they know about things. So
if you don't tell them, someone else might.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, just listening to the adults around them, I mean, everybody was talking about it and thinking about it, wondering about it, and even people here in San Antonio, Texas, were personally touched by it. So I just think that to try to not talk about it was just not possible, I think.
Carrie, thanks for the call.
Yes, thank you.
Nikki?
Can I just I think worrying about, or rather thinking about, safety and security makes sense in any context. When I was growing up, and I'm definitely dating myself, but we were all about fallout shelters. We were all about building those underground tunnels that we would stock with food and then hide in. But it never occurred to me, and maybe this was the plus side of my upbringing, it never occurred to me to hate all Russian people, even as we all were taking precautions against the threat of nuclear warfare. And I think by the same token, it makes sense to take precautions and to encourage safety procedures in your family and in your town and throughout the country. But that needs to be a separate issue from assigning blame wholesale to a large group of people.
Let's have another call now. Paul is in Tallahassee, Florida. Hi, Paul.
Hey there. Well, 9/11 affected me in so many ways, but I've got a lot of friends in the Muslim movement, in the Muslim religion, and they're very moderate. And I was hoping that from 9/11 that the moderate Muslim world would actually stand up and wherever there's, you know, votes where they could vote out their leaders and actually put a moderate Muslim agenda out in the forefront because of this.
Nikki?
Well, I agree with you. It's hard to do because, as you know, screaming voices definitely commandeer the airwaves, and they certainly commandeer the blogosphere. And one of the heartbreaking things for me in terms of this argument about the Islamic Center is that the leaders of this particular center are the moderate voices, and they have said over and over that the interpretation of Islam that allowed the terrorists to get on the plane and fly the plane into the tower, which, trust me, I think is a horrific act, that their interpretation is not the true face of Islam.
And I have one more comment. Are you there still?
Please, yes, go ahead.
I still want to know what happened with Building 7 because there's no way it could have come down at that speed if there were not bombs in it.
Okay, I think that's beyond the scope of our conversation, but Paul, thank you very much. We've got some emails here. Dan in Brigham City, Utah. To be honest, I think that 9/11 has been overblown from the start. It was a terrible event, but it, like the mostly forgotten Oklahoma City bombing, was an attack by a small group of extremists who got lucky that day, that's in quotes, because terrorist attacks are impossible to defend against. Today, it seems to be used as an excuse for a crusade against the, quote, others, and for demonizing entire groups of people. Another email from Robert in Boylston, Massachusetts. I grew up watching the World Trade Center towers being built. I'm still emotionally affected by the shocking scenes that day 9 years ago, but I'm much more disappointed. The Ground Zero has become a locus of discord and hateful rhetoric. Seems the karma of the space stopped somehow and can't evolve.
I couldn't agree more. I think those are two very accurate and insightful emails. And yes, I think that 9/11 in some respects is overblown in that it feels like the symbolism has been hijacked and used for political purposes and used to stir up negativity and to kind of divide us into us and them camps. And it's very disappointing.
Let's have another call now. Ryan is in Shawnee, Kansas. Hi, Ryan.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, yeah. I remember where I was when 9/11 happened. I was actually kind of young. I was still in grade school. But as, you know, I've grown up, I've seen the way that we've changed in this quote-unquote post-9/11 world. And really, it doesn't seem like we've become more safe or less scared. I'd say we're now less safe and more scared. I mean, as a result of this attack, the government had to put everyone under a microscope, and everyone's always scared for their safety. I've heard callers who were talking about the safety of their children and all that. So I wanted to ask, what do you think about the state of America? Do you really feel less safe as, or more safe and less scared, or the other way around?
Thanks, Ryan. Nikki?
Yeah, that's a good question. I get asked that a lot. I don't feel more scared, in part because I did go through this whole fallout shelter thing when I was a kid, and in part because it doesn't really get you anywhere. I am not afraid personally. I've never been afraid of what it is that I don't know. So I don't tend to have a tendency to run for cover in uncertain situations. That's me, and that's a really hard thing for most people to grasp. And one of the things I urge, you know, Americans to do whenever I can and wherever I can is to try to not rely on a certainty that's based on fear.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. What do you think the legacy of September 11th is? Call us at 800-989-8255. We've got an email here from Kim. To say that one is over it, very sad. Our nation will never be over it. Just as we recognize December 7th, 1941, each and every year thereafter, my parents can tell you exactly what they were doing on D-Day, as I can remember exactly my reaction to the horrific events of September 11th, 2001. It's a day I will never, ever forget. No doubt many people feel that way, but there is a new Washington Post ABC poll out today that finds, Nikki, 14% of Americans still say they think about what happened on 9/11 every day. That's down from 23% who said they did so 4 years ago and 40% the year after the attacks. What do you make of that?
I'm not surprised, and I think it's really important that we don't minimize the effect that this particular event had on people that we might not notice. They aren't necessarily family members. They may not have lived in the vicinity of Ground Zero, but they were very susceptible to being traumatized. And I think that feeds into their fear. I feel terrible for people because I think there are a lot of other things I would like people to be thinking about, especially the feeling of unity that very briefly touched all of us after 9/11.
And we have some more emails in here. Pat in, I think this is Gaston, Oregon. I'm a retired airline pilot and was flying on 9/11. That day marked a sea change in the airline industry and my career. The most difficult announcement I ever had to make was to my passengers that morning when just after taking off, all flights were grounded. I carry the memory of 9/11 the same way that I remember the Kennedy assassinations, the King assassination, and the Challenger explosion. The direction of our foreign policy has been skewed, in my opinion, in the wrong direction by 9/11, and too many have made too much hay on the graves of too many. Kirsten in Tucson, Arizona writes, unfortunately to me, 9/11 means politics. When I hear the number 9/11, I know that I'm about to hear someone promote their political agenda. It no longer is about a tragedy and sadness. Listening to this show has made me realize that it used to be a date on which people died. The number is no longer a date, just another symbol for a political argument. It has nothing to do with people. And let's have another phone call. Renee in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Go right ahead.
Hi, I was just calling because I remember being in high school and watching the attacks on television. It was 9 years ago, but now, you know, I'm married to a soldier and he's been deployed to the Middle East about four times. So to say that it's just like a political argument, I get really kind of offended because we're living this daily and we lose friends and we just lost a close friend last month, you know, and
you can't forget it if you tried.
Yeah, and it's just when people say that it's a political argument or, you know, people are over it, like I'm getting emotional right now because it's just it's more real than that.
It is more real, and I'm wish I could reach out through this microphone to you and give you a big hug because, I mean, number one, I completely know how you feel. And I think I even realized at the time, I mean, the day that my husband died, I realized there were going to be consequences. And yeah. What you're going through are the consequences. And yeah. I'm not suggesting for a nanosecond that anybody forget that what happened has consequences that affect real lives. And I think a lot of times we don't, because we don't sacrifice in the way you and your family has, we don't realize what those consequences are. So my heart goes out to you and my thanks, too.
It's a small community, and, I mean, it's just hard to, like, I was in college. I went to Michigan State University, and my husband was deployed a lot. And just trying to talk to it about people and, you know, what they're going through, there is a real disconnect. You know, they don't understand the emotional and everything that goes along with being, you know, living this daily.
Well, Renee, thank you so much. It sounds like it might have been a hard phone call to make, but we appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Nikki Stern, one last question in the few seconds we have left. How would you like the nation to commemorate 9/11?
I talk about our better angels a lot, and I think that I saw for a brief shining minute our better angels, and I think some of that is played out very quietly in some of the charities and attempts to reach out and do positive things.
Right.
I'm not saying that to sound naive. I'm saying that because I think it's our future.
Thank you. Nikki Stern, the author of Because I Say So, The Dangerous Appeal of Moral Authority. You can find a link to her article on 9/11 on our website, npr.org. Click Talk of the Nation. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.